Let's continue reading verses 24 through 26 of 2 Timothy 2. In these last three verses of the chapter, we have another model of the faithful Christian, the model of the servant. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Once again, let's start with a few background notes. In this chapter, we've seen that Paul gave Timothy several models of the faithful Christian. We've already looked at six of them. Here in these verses, we have the model of the servant, which is the seventh and final model. Paul gave Timothy these seven models to encourage him and exhort him to be a faithful and steadfast Christian. But remember, this is not just Paul's exhortation to Timothy in the first century AD. This is the word of God. This is God's exhortation to us to be faithful and steadfast Christians. Let's follow the seven models of the faithful Christian. In each of the models, we've said there is a key thought or key idea. I think that's why more than one model has been given. One model would just not convey the complete picture of the faithful and steadfast Christian. In the model of the teacher, verse 2, the key thought is communication. In the model of the soldier, verses 3 and 4, the key thought is sacrifice. In the model of the athlete, verse 5, the key idea is discipline. In the model of the farmer, verse 6, the key thought or idea is labor. In the model of the workman, verse 15, the key idea is skill. In the model of the vessel, verses 20 and 21, the key idea is availability. Now, what's the key idea in the model of the servant? Well, that's easy. Serve. A servant serves. But I think the main idea, the main thought in view of what's brought out here in reference to the Lord's servant, it's serving in love, loving service. Normally, we think of obedient service. And that's certainly true, but I think the emphasis here from these verses that we just read is love, loving service, love for the Lord and love for his people, love for our fellow believers, even when the circumstances and the people are such that it's not easy to serve in love. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points or teaching points for this last model of the faithful Christian. Doctrinal point or teaching point number one. Like a servant, the faithful Christian serves in spite of trying circumstances. Like a servant, a faithful Christian serves in spite of trying circumstances. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Notice how the idea of serving with love is brought out here. Be gentle or kind to all is certainly more than just service. It's loving service. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we're told that we should, through love, serve one another. Loving service towards fellow believers is particularly in view here. But it's not always easy. There will be trying circumstances. Some fellow believers get on your nerves. It's hard not to quarrel with them. But winning an argument is not the goal of loving service. When it says here in verse 24, able to teach, again, the idea in the context here is to teach with love and patience. Now, as a teacher of Christian students, I can assure you that this kind of service is not always easy. First semester exams are 2 weeks away at Emmaus Bible College. When the final grades come in, I can almost guarantee that in the courses I teach, there will be what I call a camelback curve, all right? What do I mean by that? Well, the first hump of the camel will be your A's and your B's, all right? Your A and B students. This first hump of the camelback curve represents your bright, well-motivated students. But then there's that other hump of the camelback curve. And those are the D's and the E's, if you will. And Dr. Grace here, you're looking at him. I'll do everything I can to get the E's up into at least the D part of the curve. These are the students that, for whatever reason, end up in that part of the curve. And some of them, let me tell you, to serve in love is tough, all right? These are trying circumstances. To serve them in love and patience is not easy. And sometimes you have to use tough love here. But still, the faithful Christian serves in spite of trying circumstances. We're to do that. The last word of verse 24, patient, is a word which means patient when wronged. It's a number of Greek words that are translated patient, but this particular one means patient when wronged. That is, not resentful. You know, I remember being invited to a summer camp several years ago to be the speaker. I spoke morning and evening for over a week, and at the end, no honorarium was given to me. Everyone said they enjoyed the ministry, shook my hand, but no honorarium. Now, believe me, I tried every trick in the preacher's book. You know, I delayed leaving, hung around, drove around the camp waving goodbye, but no honorarium. Believe me, I felt I was wronged. But then again, I remembered, I didn't sign a contract. What do you do in a case like this? You commit it to the Lord. We are the Lord's bondservants, and we serve in love. I'm still waiting, by the way, but not resentful. I'm sure it was an oversight. But remember, like a servant, a faithful Christian serves in spite of trying circumstances. Doctrinal point number two, like a servant, the faithful Christian serves in spite of testy opposition. Like a servant, the faithful Christian serves in spite of testy opposition. Look at verses 25 and 26. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It seems that those who are in opposition here would be believers, but believers who are affected by false teaching, so much so that they are said to be caught in the snare of the devil. Now, believe me, these folks many times get very testy in their opposition. I remember speaking at a conference once about the sinful nature of man. And after the session was over, a Christian man, who I found out later was a sociology teacher, he began to argue with me and proceed to take a position that was very close to humanism, namely that man is basically good and only sins because of his unfortunate circumstances. This man was a Christian, but he was entrapped in the snare of the devil. I mean, Satan's line and what's in sociology teaching today is, you know, man is basically good. We only sin because if it's our environment, a circumstance, and so forth. That's not what the Bible teaches. We sin because we're sinners. Teaching humanism is to do Satan's will, in line with what we read here. Well, as a servant, my responsibility was to gently correct this blinded Christian as to his error, even though his opposition was testy at times. Well, in this case, there was a happy ending. This Christian sociology teacher saw the error of his ways, and in the words of our text, he escaped. He was granted repentance by God. He came to know the truth. Verse 26, he came to his senses. He escaped out of the snare of the devil. No longer was he doing Satan's will. Well, not all cases have such a happy ending, but still we serve in love and patience. We serve in love as much as possible. Like a servant, a faithful Christian serves in spite of testy opposition. Let's take two quick practical applications, all right? Practical application number one, be like a father and not like a first sergeant. Be like a father and not like a first sergeant. A good father instructs his children with love. A first sergeant instructs his troops by barking out orders. Now, if we follow the model of the servant here and serve in love, we will be like a father and not like a first sergeant. You know, I'm very thankful for the fathers that have been in my life. I'm very thankful that back in my teenage years, some older Christian men related to me like fathers and not like first sergeants. Be like a father and not like a first sergeant. Practical application number two. Let's examine ourselves for error. Let's examine ourselves for error. We've been talking of ourselves as being loving servants, correcting other Christians who are in opposition. Is it possible that there are some areas where we are the opposition because we're in error? Remember, in this context, we said it's particularly believers that are in view here, that are in opposition because they've been sucked in to an area of false teaching, ensnared by the enemy to do Satan's will. Is it possible that there are some areas where we are actually in the opposition because we're in error? You know, for years, I was convinced that the way God had brought man into existence was through some kind of evolution over a long period of time. This position, I think you know, is called theistic evolution. This is not atheistic evolution. This is theistic evolution. God just used the process of evolution. I was a Christian, but I was in error. I was brainwashed, blinded. I was actually caught in the snare of Satan, in line with verse 26, because evolution, that's his lie. But by the means of the loving service of other Christians, God granted me repentance, and I came to my senses and escaped out of the snare of the devil. Is it possible that any of us here this morning have some blind spots in certain areas and are actually part of the opposition in the snare of the enemy, doing his will? Let's examine ourselves for error.